The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Okay, Tov. Am I allowed to ask you if you've answered the sports question yet?
I haven't. Thank you, Anthony. Jeez, you are saving me today. I can just imagine the messages that I was about to receive. Louis Campos wanted to know. Jeez, he really is good, this Anthony. Thank you. Who is the only Brazilian to manage a team in the Premier League? Taking a look at some of your answers. Karen says Howard Wilkinson. Scolari says Sienna McKenzie and Jackson. The answer is, do you know the answer, Anthony?
I think it's Nuno, isn't it?
It's Philippe Scolari. Luis Felipe Scolari. So there you have it. But thank you for saving me from myself. It is greatly appreciated. All right, let's take a look at what is happening in Israel. Taking a look at some of the big stories that we are covering. German Foreign Minister has made a flying visit to Israel yesterday. What was so urgent that made him travel here at this time?
I think it's got to do with this whole annexation story, to be honest. It is very strange because Heiko Maas has actually not made a trip outside Europe since the outbreak of the whole coronavirus story. This was the very first time that he's traveled outside of Europe, and apparently it was so important that it had to be done right away. He did meet with a new foreign minister, Gabi Ashkenazi, and he met with Prime Minister Netanyahu, as well as Defense Minister Benny Gantz. I think the topic of conversation was really just all about the annexation, as far as we can work out, or at least as far as has been released publicly to the press for public consumption. Apparently, the Germans are not in favor of the annexation plans at all, and they have tried to convince Israel to not move ahead with the plans. Gabi Ashkenazi told Heiko Maas that the government has actually not made any decision yet, and that the Germans will be the first to know, or amongst the first to know, in the event that a formal decision is made by the government. And he kind of saw, it was sort of left at that, saying that, you know, there's really no decision. And so we're not quite sure why all of this urgency is arising at this time. The truth of the matter is that Germany has some interest because they're going to be assuming the rotating presidency of the Council of the European Union next month. They're also going to be assuming the presidency of the United Nations Security Council next month. So the Germans, who already have a very, very strong position on the international stage, are about to have a much stronger position assuming those various presidencies. And I'm guessing that they want to try to make themselves felt when they assume these presidencies, and they want to try to demonstrate to the international community that they have the influence, the control to change the path of events on the international stage. And of course, the story of annexation is one of the big stories. I don't know if it's a storm in a teacup. Some people are saying that it may well be, but it's certainly one of the biggest stories. And one of the comments that I've seen made, and certainly was made by, I think, the German foreign minister as well, is that proceeding with the annexation effectively scuppers the whole prospect of a two-state solution. That's what's kind of being put forward at the moment. And I absolutely disagree with that, 100% disagree with that, because even though we all agree that a negotiated settlement, which would see a Palestinian state coming into being, may well be the preferred approach, the ideal approach, some might say. The truth of the matter is that the Palestinians at the moment are showing absolutely no propensity at all to negotiate. They have avoided the possibility of coming to the negotiating table. They've rejected the U.S. government's attempts to try and bring things together. So there are no negotiations going on at the moment. So therefore, we have two alternatives. The first alternative is status quo, just leave things as they are, which, of course, they have been already for some time, almost since the Oslo Accords were signed all those years ago. Or the alternative is for one of the parties to take unilateral steps because the other one isn't prepared to come to the party, isn't prepared to negotiate, isn't prepared to cooperate. So those are the two alternatives. Now, the status quo One could argue, and as I said yesterday, I think that part of the annexation plan is just reinforcing the status quo. It doesn't really take away anything from the Palestinians. It doesn't say to them, well, whatever was planned to be your state is now being effectively stolen away from you, is being taken away under your nose. None of that's going on. This is simply taking what is currently under Israeli control and just making it formally under Israeli control, formalizing Israel's laws, judicial system applying over that area, instead of it being so-called occupied territory, which people like to call it, under military rule, it will formally become part of Israel. And that's really what this annexation plan is all about. I think that there is a lot more being attributed to it than is really the case. Of course, the Palestinians have threatened that they will declare a Palestinian state on the pre-1967 lines. There's obviously going to be a little bit of a clash of interest going on there, because if Israel on the one hand annexes part of the Jordan Valley, which is effectively beyond the pre-1967 lines, then there is going to be a little bit of a scrap over some of those areas. I can't see any of that really coming into to happening. But anyway, the German foreign minister was here yesterday, and he went on to Jordan, where he was due to have met members of the Palestinian Authority and members of the Jordanian government before returning to Germany. Just a little interesting snippet about that. He had indicated originally that he wanted to go to Ramallah to meet with the Palestinian Authority and then return back to Israel in order to travel to Germany. Now, the Israeli government said, well, if you go to Ramallah, then that's effectively out of Israel. When you come back in, you're going to have to go into quarantine for 2 weeks before you go, which is a ridiculous thing, because he arrived from Europe yesterday. If there was going to be quarantine applied, it should have been applied at that moment. So this was obviously just a very, very transparent, stupid exercise on the part of the Israeli government to prevent him from going to Ramallah to meet with the Palestinian Authority in the event he found an alternative way of doing it. He was originally going to have a Zoom call from Jerusalem with Mohammed Steyer.
Well, he could have it from Germany also.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he could have done that too, I guess. Mm. He was going to meet with on Zoom, apparently, with the Palestinian Authority Prime Minister. But in the end, I think he went off to Jordan and achieved the same thing. So everybody's really getting hot and heavy and quite excited about this concept of the possibility of the annexation. The official Israeli government line at the moment is nothing's been decided.
Right. And Roland says, just for the record, the leftist Heiko is not my foreign minister, not in my name. That is from Roland. And Sain says, LOL, when your international correspondence has to remind you to give the answer to the sports question. Yes, all right. I got it. These things happen. Israeli school children have been complaining that the guidelines from the Ministry of Education are unclear as to their school and final exam programs. What is the policy from the Ministry of Education?
Well, I guess it's unclear. It's horses for courses at the moment. I mean, there is no clear uniform policy that's being applied across Israeli schools. As far as the Ministry of Education is concerned, schools are open for business, except if you've had a coronavirus diagnosis at the school, then the school is closed. And even when the school is open, the students have the freedom to choose as to whether they wish to come to school or not. And apparently the teachers can choose as to whether they wish to run classes or not. So it's all very fluid. And this is unnerving for the students who are in grades 11 and 12, who are the students who write Bagruyot, their final matriculation exams, at this time of year. The dates have been set. The exams will take place. It is common practice in Israel for final matriculation exams to have two dates associated with them. Students are entitled to write the exam on either or both of the two dates. You can write two papers in one kind of exam sitting. And so there is some flexibility as to whether they write their exams earlier or a few weeks later in the second sitting of the exams when they have another opportunity to write the paper. The problem is that more than 20,000 students, teachers and parents related to schools are currently in isolation. Apparently 433 pupils of schools have been diagnosed as with coronavirus, and there are almost 150 schools around Israel that are closed at the moment. So there is a lot of fluidity surrounding the issue of schools. And there is, this even goes down to the primary schools, because there has been a proposal by the education ministry to extend the school year by an extra 9 days. And the teachers' unions, while having verbally agreed to this idea to extend the school year into July, that means the school year will only end on July the 13th as opposed to the end of June. The unions have yet to sign the agreements. And so while the agreements, even though they've been verbally agreed, while the agreements are not yet signed, there is no clarity as to whether the school year will end at the end of June or the middle of July. So lots and lots of fluidity and uncertainty, and especially for those poor students who are due to be writing their final matriculation Bagrut exams. A lot of them have not attended school for periods of time. They won't be able to sit the prelim exams, which also count towards their final results in Israel. So, unfortunately, the students in schools are very, very uncertain. And many of them are already due to be called up to the IDF and to go on to do other things, in the next few months. So it's not as if they have huge amounts of flexibility to try to resolve this issue.
Very, very complicated and very problematic, obviously. And Russia is claiming that it shot down an Israeli reconnaissance drone in southern Syria. What do we know about this?
Well, what we know is that the Russians are claiming that a drone was shot down in southern Syria on the 27th of May. It's not just simply that a drone was shot down, but apparently Russia has been testing this laser anti-weapon system in the area of southern Syria. And the claims are that while testing this laser-driven system that was due to be put into combat for the first time, they managed to shoot down an Israeli drone that was flying around the area in southern Syria. Now, these laser systems are quite interesting, because effectively what they're designed to do is to scramble the signal that's being sent to the drone itself. And by scrambling that signal, it effectively breaks off the drone's communications with the ground control and causes it to crash land wherever it happens to be. On the other hand, Israel's Ministry of Defense has announced that they've made some technological breakthroughs in the development of lasers, which are able to intercept the anti-laser interception and prevent this laser from scrambling the drone signal. It's highly complicated, very, very technical indeed. Apparently, the Israelis are not saying anything about whether a drone was shot down in southern Syria on May the 27th, but there seems to be absolutely no evidence at all that anything was intercepted. So it's going to be one of those smoke and mirror situations where the Russians are claiming one thing. Israel, while not making any formal statements, is definitely not agreeing with that. And we're into a very, very technological area of warfare here, which is kind of rivaling almost the cyber attacks that we're seeing going on with Iran.
Wow. That is quite frightening indeed. Anthony Reich, this is Where We Love and Leave You. Hope you have a fantastic weekend, and we'll, of course, catch you on Monday morning at the same time. Have a Shabbat Shalom, and stay safe and stay healthy. It's about to go 8 o'clock. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem on 101.9 Chai FM.